if y'all have to do this or do this when you're fixing to go on a trip. But I'll sit down and take a little time and kind of plan, okay, you know, gas prices are this, and so I expect this trip to cost me this much, so I need to, you know, take this much. But, you know, things can come into our life that we did not really plan for. And we also, before we leave on a trip, we tried to make it our practice in the past. A lot of times we'll just stop on the driveway and have prayer. Because, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. Most of the time everything goes well. We don't have a car accident or anything happen wrong. But we'll stop and ask the Lord, would you go with us? Would you cause the vehicle to run well? Would you? And he's well able to do that. Brother Marty was talking about send the power down. You know what? God's got the power to take care of all those things. Well, we did all that and took, you know, that's our precaution. Asked the Lord to go along and help us. Well, we were coming along. We even decided, you know, I'm going to take off a week, day early to be here. I want to be here when the meeting starts out. Well, it's a good thing I took a day early because I needed it sitting on the road where the car broke down. And you know, we can either sit there stewing about this expense, and I've got this God that I'm serving that's got all this power, and he could have kept this from happening. What we had was the air shocks on the back of our truck, which probably I should have checked them before. I don't ever think about something like that. But about 60 miles on the other side of St. Louis, everything was coming along good. We even planned for the Lord to take care of us well enough that Cheryl's dad had gone online and got rooms up in Louisville. Get a good deal if you get them on Priceline, which also means you can't get your money back if you don't get there. And so we're going to make it. Everything is fine. We've got it all plotted out. Well, they blew out. One shock blew out on the interstate. Well, you know, cell phones are a wonderful thing. Because while we're sitting there on the side of the road trying to figure what we're going to do, Cheryl's dad gets on the phone. He starts calling and finds, where's the closest Ford dealership that we can get to? So we drive over there to it. Well, what I found out was that in that driving, it also took out the other shock because it put too much pressure on it. And I also found out that those shocks don't come cheap. And so, you know, I've got this planned out. Gas, okay, it's maybe $3.80, so I'll need this much money for the trip. Well, when the guy came out and he told me, he said, if I had the parts, it would cost you $1,500 to get it going again. He said, I don't have them, so I have to order them. Well, you know, there's time there for me to think about, okay, now I'm going to lose the two rooms that we ordered in Louisville, and we're also going to have to get two more rooms to stay here until the parts come in. What do you do with that? Do you, by the time we get here, I need to go to the altar because I done lost all the grace I had? Or is there something available for us? And I want to tell you, there is something available, because while I was sitting in the room yesterday waiting for the parts to come in, there was a song that came to my mind. When compared to God, everything's small. There's no giant that compares at all to the when we come to face a mountain so high, one glimpse of God will bring it down to size. And that covers the whole span of life. If tomorrow we hear that we have cancer, it spans that. When compared to God, everything is small. So what I'd like to do this morning is magnify the Lord a little bit. Because I want to tell you, that's what solves the problems of life when they seem like they could just knock us over. I'd like to start out with a song, number 43. What a mighty God we serve. It says, our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all in majesty from his royal throne on high. Third verse, he maketh worlds by his command. He weighs the mountains great and high. He meets the waters in his hand, spans the lofty starlit sky. This morning, what is God to you, to me? What a mighty God we serve. Do you believe that to a Christian, nothing comes into his life without God allowing it? Is there anything that can happen to me when I'm serving God, when my desire is to please the Lord? Is there anything that can happen to me that he didn't allow, that he did not permit? So I have to take this little incident yesterday and say, you know what? I don't have to figure it out. There's a purpose. I can even go overboard a little bit and say, you know, there's probably a wreck right down the road and I'd have been in it. Well, I don't know what his purpose was, but I find that to have peace, this peace that the world can't give, because I want to tell you, if I were relying on the peace that the world gives, I wouldn't have been too happy the last couple of days. But he says, I've got a peace for you that they can't touch. Because in the world, the peace that you have is when I'm traveling along and I make it to Louisville and I stay that night in the cheap hotel rooms that I got on Priceline and come on yesterday. I've got peace. But the Lord says, I've got some peace for you that is, it passes all that up. While you're sitting on the side of the road and cannot figure what you're going to do, he's got peace for us. And it's not just in that one incident, because every one of you are going to have things come in your life that can either knock you over, and it can be some of the small, we say they're small things, but in a day's event, sometimes it can feel like it's a big thing. But I find that if I will start measuring that problem against who God is and the power that he has, maybe not to even change the problem. You know what? He had the power to have patched that airbag where it didn't even blow. And I'd just keep on. But you know what? I wouldn't have had a testimony then. I'd have thought, well, everything's just fine. But instead, he allows things to happen. He gives us grace for them. And we move on with life. Because you know what? Trouble comes to everyone. But it's if I can magnify the Lord in my heart. You remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel came to visit her? She said, my soul doth magnify. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. You do with me whatever you want, because I see what a mighty God I'm serving. I'd like to look at a few verses this morning. Psalms 145 and 1 through 5. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. See, we start taking a look at who God is, and his size starts growing. You know, a lot of times we think about magnifying. You take a magnifying glass and look at a leaf, you're blowing it up bigger than it is. This isn't the kind of magnifying he's talking about. What he's talking about is me discarding my own thoughts about things and giving room for God to expand in my own life, to see that he's well able to take care of this need too. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. For us to be able to slow down in life, because there are things that will crowd us so much, the temporal things, the temporal concerns, to where God is diminished. His size is diminished. What he can do for me is diminished. Because if I'm not careful, I will get the view that as a Christian, no problem should ever come my way. God should always just clear it up for me, because I'm living for him. But a lot of times, the power that he shows us is the ability to take us through that problem and bring us out on the other side with victory. There was another verse in Psalms 34 and 3. It says, O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So I think there's times that each one of us, not even so much at a meeting, but at home, in our daily affairs of life, that we will sit down and magnify the Lord in our heart. This problem that I'm facing, maybe it's a relationship with somebody we work with. It can be so many things, but whatever it is, as I magnify the Lord in my heart and find out he is well able to either take care of the problem or take me through the problem. When compared to God, everything's small. And there's another picture that I'd like for us to get of magnifying the Lord. It's in Romans 11. Starting in the 33rd verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? I look at this verse, who can tell the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Thank you. Who was it that gave the Lord advice, gave God advice on how to put this together? Nobody out there. Wasn't able to do it. How unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. And I find that the best thing that I can do is, as I magnify him in my life, submit to that. Though I don't understand, though things seem to be going wrong, that I'll realize this God that did not have to go to anybody for counsel, he is directing my life. He has allowed this thing today for a purpose. Though I don't see what the purpose is, he's done it for a reason. And really the bottom line of that reason is sometimes to show me if there's something there that needs to be purged out. And I would not see it when everything is going well. So he allows some things to come to me to bring it to the surface, and I'm thankful for that. You know, sometimes we will read success stories. I remember in the past of taking a look at Sam Walton and how people that just started with nothing, but with diligence, they worked their way up and they were wealthy at the end of it. Bill Gates, other people that have been successful. But you know what? Sometimes we need to pull away from all that to be able to see what true success really is. To be able to view what is really great. There's a song that says, alone in some secure retreat. You know, we're living in a time where it is on the move all the time. People are, don't stop, don't let it get quiet. I don't want time to think. And this song says, alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking about my troubles? No. I'm thinking, Lord, on thee. As I pull myself away, and we don't even have to go anywhere to be able to do that. You know, sometimes I think about how nice it is out here in West Virginia, but y'all probably have to go somewhere to get over your troubles too from here. But you know what? It's not so much the place as it is the attitude of heart. To be able to unload things out of my mind, get real quiet, I'm thinking, Lord of thee. There's another verse that I'd like for us to look at in Psalms, the 8th chapter. And in the 3rd verse. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. You know, a lot of times we can get so busy that even the nature itself is not able to attract our attention and draw us to God. We can just be so busy. But here he's saying, when I take a look at all these things that you have ordained, I say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Be so thankful that God provided these things for us, that he cared enough about us. And if he does, he also cares about the troubles that he allows to come my way. And I'm thankful for that. There was a promise that God made. You know, I will sometimes look at the almanac. And if you could get an almanac for 20 years down the road, they can tell you what time on a certain day the sun will rise 20 years from now. And I think that's impressive that man can do that. How's he able to do that? Because he's been able to track for so long a time how God operates. God works the same. And here's the verse for it. Genesis 8 and 22. God said, while the earth remaineth, day and night shall not cease. So as long as he allows the earth to remain, you can plot out 20 years. And you can say, on this day is when it's going to be a full moon. On this day, sun's going to rise at this time. There's also another thing. Have you ever looked at the weather forecast you've got some work that needs to be done, and the weatherman told you there'll be no rain today. It's going to be good weather. So you go out there and you get started, and here comes a rain shower that stops all your work. Have you ever let that cause you to get a little bit agitated? No, wait a minute. This man is being paid good money to tell me when it's going to rain and when it's not going to rain. You know what that really needs to do for us? Is to realize what a mighty God we serve. He's never going to let a man get to the place to where he can predict everything. So instead of me getting upset at the weatherman that he missed that rain that he said wasn't going to come, that I would realize God is in control. There is something else that caused God to be magnified in my mind. It was a few years ago, and y'all may remember, Doug and Lenita were down in Honduras, and they called up, as in the hurricane season, and they called up, which we could hear it on the news, that there's a hurricane headed straight for Roatan. And that's a little bitty island. Where would you hide? And so they were asking, would you please go to prayer? You know, that island is maybe 3 or 4 miles wide. You see what it does in New Orleans and those places. It goes miles inland tearing things up. So there's not much place to go. So the saints started praying for them. And on the news, it let us know. You know what? That storm veered off. And it didn't do the damage. Didn't hit it like they had expected. Now, man took a look at that. And he could explain how it happened. The ocean temperature changed a little bit. And that's all it takes to cause this to move. Well, wait a minute. Let's don't stop there. That may be fine. He may understand how that happened. What changed the ocean temperature? God is in control of everything. He's in control of those problems that come into my life that want to overwhelm me and knock me over. He's still in control. And I'm so thankful for that. What it's going to take is for me to get a hold to what a mighty God we serve. Have you ever made a promise and expected with all your heart to be able to fulfill it? But things come around and there is no way it can be done, and you have to go back and apologize. The God that we serve made a promise one day. He said, I'm going to set this rainbow up in the cloud. You take a look at that at any time, it's going to be a reminder to you. As long as this earth stands, the earth will never be flooded again by water. When he makes a promise, he's well able to fulfill it. He's well able to cause it to come to pass, where man can only do so much. Do you remember Job? He came to a place where he had some things to say about the condition that he was in. You know, I like the first chapter where he says he sinned not nor charged God foolishly. He did real good. But you know, you get on down there about 30 chapters and it started kind of wearing on him. And he had some things that, if I had an opportunity, I'd go tell God about this thing. Well, let's take a little look at that in Job. Because, you know, that's not just him. Sometimes I'll come to a place where I'd like to tell God how to do it. Because I'd do it a whole lot different. I would have done the last few days different myself. But what I've got to realize is God is in control. He knows what I need, and he sends it into my life. Well, there comes a place in the 38th chapter where it's almost like God had enough. You know, the Creator that is, who gave him advice when he brought it into existence. Have you read this before? Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. And his first question kind of puts you have no more to say. It says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? For me to have something to say to God about how he needs to change what's happening in my life. Now, he gives us that opportunity, and I don't want it to be pushed too far one way, because he said that when we come to him in prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I can come to him and say, I would like for you to do it this way. But you know, the bottom line of it is I need to put my hand in his and say, but you know what? I cannot plot my life and be able to make heaven my home and end. So I ask you, if you see that this desire, this request that I'm asking of you is not going to be the best for me to make heaven my home, I ask you to do what you will with it. And so here he's asking him, where were you? Job, slow down a little bit and start magnifying who God is, and you'll stop your questioning. And he went on for a couple chapters, God did. And you remember where Job said, you know what, I shouldn't have been talking. I should have held my peace. Well, God wasn't finished. He came on back for about two more chapters. He said, no, let's not finish this. Gird up your loins like a man now and answer on these. What came on down toward the end, where Job had had enough, and he said in the 40th chapter, the 4th verse, I'll lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I'll not answer. Yea, twice, but I'll proceed not further. But then that's where he still kept on. But in the 42nd, where Job just said, I'm through. You know, I repent in ashes. I have nothing more to say. Because, Lord, you have shown me so much of who you are, how mighty you are. 42:2, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He said in the 3rd verse, I've uttered things that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Have you ever, once you get to the place where God gets back to his rightful place, you say, wow, why did I try to take that in my own hands and try to tell God how to do it? I need to be able to hand it over to God. In Isaiah 66:1, where he says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. When I start seeing what that verse really means, you know, back in Oklahoma, we own a little piece of land, and it seems really nice to us. But if you did that in comparison to Oklahoma, that's just a little speck. And then we drive 1,200 miles out here and see what all there is available. It's really nothing. And then you take, he says, heaven is my throne. The earth is just a place I can put my feet. It starts helping me to see what a mighty God. And when I start considering that, I have to say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And I was thinking there in Isaiah 57, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Here's why, where I will dwell, with a man that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. Now that happens automatically as I start in my mind realizing who God really is. It causes me to say, what is man? Who am I that he allowed these things to be given to me? And I humble myself before him. Thought about what God has given to us that we take for granted every day. What about the 5 senses that we have? You ever sit down sometime and just think about those? They just happen, so we take them for granted. I thought about the sense of touch. Whenever I'm on my job and we're going to pick up something, maybe a smooth pipe that is heavy, you ever start to pick it up and you feel it slipping? You don't even think about it. Your grip tightens down. How'd that do that? It sent a signal. This thing's moving. You need to put more grip to it. We take that for granted. The sense of touch. What would it be if we weren't able to tell hot from cold? If you didn't have that sense that when you touch the stove and it was on when you thought it was off, that you get off of it. We take it for granted. I thought about just in our traveling, we don't even think about it. But have you ever thought about the process that is going on? You're following somebody, you see brake lights, and you just think about, well, it's time to stop. But there is from your eye to your brain, and it's processed and so quick, it's sent back to your feet. It's time to hit on the brake here. And I mean, it's just in seconds that it's done. We're not talking about, okay, it's an old-time computer and it takes a minute or two to get it going. You know, sometimes we'll try to get on the internet and maybe got a cheap computer and it's just, you sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait. Well, God provided us a processor that when the eye sees it, it processes that information and is sent instantly to be used. When we're walking in the chapel here and we come to a step, have you ever stopped and thought, now how high do I need to pick up my foot so I won't fall? You don't think about it. God put within us sensors that would, the eye's taking a look at it and it's telling you how high to lift your foot. Those are areas that if we will allow it, it'll start causing us to magnify God. Or I can just go through life and I'm only thinking about the problems that I'm facing. and I travel down the road and never think about, Lord, what would happen if just one of these things should fail a little bit? It sends a signal to the foot, but the foot just doesn't receive it. To me, those things, just the thought of what the eye, God made the eye. And he made us out of dust to start with, but he caused that eye to be like a camera that is taking a picture and able to send it so quick to the brain to tell you what to do with it. Those things, as I start looking at what God has done for man, it causes me to start saying, what a mighty God we serve. And if we're not careful, the places that should cause me to turn my mind toward the Lord, I've got it full of other things. There are other things that are happening. My problems are what's looming up, and I'm not able to realize how big God is. Just in nature around us, that verse of song that says, alone in some secure retreat, just in your mind, we need to slow down sometimes and look around us at just a flower. What God has provided in a flower for us to take a look at. And if we will let it, that will cause us to say, what a mighty God we serve. Those things in nature. And as we come out to a quieter place here, you know, we're getting so attached to electronics. I used to think whenever I was on my job and they came out with a pager, wow, this is something. I can be reached. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot now, because what it means is now I got to go find the telephone to call work and ask them what's the problem. But in a few years, how fast things have progressed to where now you can be going down the road and you can tell what's happening on the news through the internet on your telephone. Now, once we came to, you know, just a few miles from here, all that kind of shut down to where life is a little bit slower in that area. But that doesn't mean that your mind in West Virginia can't be churning just like people back in Oklahoma. It doesn't mean, you know, my cell phone doesn't work, so life is just so relaxed here. The devil is going to be very busy to fill us with things to where we cannot magnify God like we need to. Because when I magnify him, then when the trouble hits, it doesn't have near the impact that it would have if I had been relying on my own abilities to take care of problems. Because that one yesterday seemed like a pretty big one. Until I realized, you know what? It's all in the Lord's hands anyhow. I'm glad I took off a day early because I needed it over here. But we can go through those areas then, and it's a big buffer for us. And that's a very small problem when we start thinking about things that can come to us in afflictions. And yesterday as we were coming here, we drove through Joplin. And you just cannot imagine the devastation that can happen in just a few minutes' time. And people's lives be just turned upside down. Businesses that 10 minutes ago we were turning a profit, now it's in a pile of rubble. And you know what? There's things that can hit us in life that the human mind cannot function with it. It's too much for us. But God says, I'm right here. To the one who has, and you know, we need to build before the storm. I need to have started practicing in my life, in the little things that hit, that I say, God, you're in control of this thing. It wasn't what I wanted. In fact, I asked you at the beginning of this trip to cause everything to run well. But you allowed it to be different. That's just one instance. But we need to be building in our life, throughout our life, knowing that God is in control. Because when something happens like what happened in Joplin, now the home's gone, the car's gone, the clothes are gone, there's nothing left. It's just the clothes on my back. You know what? You're going to need to have something big already built in your life to be able to say, but I still got God. And when I have him, everything else is going to work out okay. So I'd like for us all, maybe even at the beginning of this meeting, as the Lord through the meeting hopefully will send things that will challenge and stir us, that we will realize what a mighty God we serve. I want him to send into my life whatever is necessary, because the big storms are going to hit us all one day, It's going to be for me one thing. It may be for you something else. But I want to be prepared. And how I do it is, when the sun's shining, that I will start building in the tiny little things that come into my life that cause me to get agitated, that I will start handing those things over to God, realizing He allowed it into my life. And I want to tell you, that brings some comfort to me. Because if I've got to try to figure how to get out of some of the things that I get into, I'm in trouble. But if I can say, Lord, You've allowed this thing. Now I want You to work Your purpose in my life. I'd like for us to sing that number 43. Because no matter what happens in our life, we're serving a mighty God. I'd like to pray.